You're listening to the GM Shuffle, presented by DraftKings and VSiN.
We're back on the GM Shuffle. It is that time of year that is difficult for everyone involved. It is cut down time for the rosters. It's a Monday, August 25th today. The preseason is completed now, and so cuts are beginning as teams get their rosters and trim them down to, is it still 53 now, Marty? I feel like they added two roster spots a couple years ago and maybe gave them back. The COVID years kind of messed with the rosters. What is the roster? Is it still 53?
Yeah, it is 53. The change you're thinking of, Jeff, is I think in 24 they made. So before that, you could put two guys. You had to carry your injured players on the final 53 if you wanted to allow them the ability to come back as an injured reserve player after four games. Well, that created all kinds of problems because you had to cut two players that you wanted to make your roster to keep those two guys until 2 days after the final cutdown, until they cleared waivers to bring back on the active roster, and then put those two injured players you wanted to bring back after four games on injured reserve. Now what they do is they give you those two spots. So if there's two players that have injuries that will miss at least the first four games, you can put them on IR and designate them to return. So you are actually picking up two extra spots. Now, if you have more than two players you want to put on injured reserve, you have to make that roster spot by cutting a player, releasing a player, whatever, and then keeping that injured player on the active 53 until the other player's clear, and then you can bring him back, put him on the roster, and put the other player on injured reserve. Does that make sense?
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. So it's a little roster shuffling there, but that makes
sense. So you're right. I mean, you basically added two roster spots.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. Yeah. So 53 players plus maybe a couple others, depending on your injured reserve situation. So the cuts, we've seen that teams trickle out 10, 15 guys, and you used to go, you'd have 90 to start camp. There was a point, I think you would cut to 80 and then you cut to 53, yep, or cut to 75 and cut to, now it's all at once. You go from 90
now
down
it's
to 53.
All in one swoop.
All in one swoop. So kind of walk us through the process, I think, of a general manager front office as you approach the final preseason games and then obviously into this period where you release players and what that process is like. I'll talk about in a second, you know, how I viewed from a player perspective. It's obviously much different, I think, than how you see it. But sort of how does the process begin at like a week out to preparing your roster for cutdowns?
Well, actually, you know, the process is ongoing through the whole training camp, through the whole offseason. As a general manager, the general manager and the head coach are constantly talking personnel, constantly talking roster spots, talking about fits, talking about what young players are impressing. So the conversation between the coach and the general manager takes place throughout the offseason. Now what happens, you get a week out, okay? So now, obviously, coaches are bringing, going into the head coach, going into the general manager, fighting for players that they want to keep. As a general manager, you're talking to your player personnel guys, the pro director and his assistants, and even the college director, and you're just getting opinions from them because scouts watch the preseason games, and they try to watch the practice tape as much as possible. So there's communication there. Obviously, the head coach, as you know, Jeff, coaches love to meet. They go in that room and they meet for 2 hours. And I always laughed. I said, they're like amoebas coming out because they go in that room. They all talk. They all come out on the same page. So now you're getting to the final cuts. And basically what we did was I met with the personnel people. John Fox, in our case, met with the assistant coaches. I would be in there probably for the second meeting, not the first, but because they all had to get on the same page. But, you know, John and I had a great relationship, a very honest give and take. And, you know, by the time the 53-man cuts came, you know, if they're easy, then you're not very good. If they're hard, you have a chance. So we would meet with the personnel people, the coaches separately, and then we would have a meeting with the coaches and the personnel people all in one room, and we'd come out with a list of the 53 players that were going to make it. I always hated today and tomorrow in this case because, I don't know, it's just, you know, you had the young players came in. These guys were given everything they had to either make the team and eventually help you win, And it was just, it was very hard for me. It, the personal part of it was difficult. I remember back in the 90s when I was out at the Chargers as the offensive assistant and to Bobby Beathard, basically the coordinator of football operations was my title. And Rod Bernstein had been a player that gave a lot to the Chargers and had been there for a long time. We ended up cutting him. And I remember being in the elevator with him going down so he could see the trainers and the equipment guy. And he looked at me and he said, "Man, you're taking this harder than I am. Don't worry about it. It'll be all right." I felt like an idiot. You know, here's a guy that was just cut and he was telling me, he was trying to make me feel better. But it's just, it's an emotional time for players because some guys figure they won't get another shot and other guys thought that they were going to be able to make the team. But as you say, as you can see, it's some of the most important decisions you make during the year.
And you can feel it as a player when things start to turn a little bit. Your reps slowly get sort of cut or you give them more reps. It gets a little bit sometimes screwy when you get more reps in the preseason and they get cut afterwards. Obviously, maybe it's because you just didn't make it and play well enough in those reps. And then also, I think for young players, it's really hard to understand what you learn as an older player that, you know, your contract status and your draft status and sort of the roster makeup matters maybe more than your play sometimes. There are times when, and you correct me if I'm wrong, like a guy is getting paid X amount of money to play, you got to keep him on the roster. You can't get rid of that player for a younger player that may be better at some point. That's why the practice squad is there. How much did you try to hide players through this process to get on the practice squad? I remember I was told by my agent my rookie season that I was not going to play in the final preseason game, which I ended up did play one drive to quote-unquote hide me so I didn't have film. So when you guys released me, I come back to practice squad. How was that sort of talked through in the building?
You know, I think you could have done that more maybe 15, 20 years ago, Jeff. It's hard to do now. I mean, guys are all over everything. The media is all over everything. So, it's hard to do. We would always kind of do the guys 2 days before that we really didn't think we were going to bring back on practice squad. We wait until the last day to cut the guys we wanted to bring back because we thought it would give other personnel departments less time to look at tape, but that just doesn't happen. I mean, it's hard to hide somebody to put in your practice squad that's very good, but you also have to realize that I think there's a tendency of teams to maybe put a higher value on players that have been with them through minicamp, through training camp, than maybe other teams do. Because we all forget, the other teams are trying to get 53 of their players on the roster too. So, it's got to be the right guy. And there have been occasions where we've lost guys on the practice squad, but most players like to stay where they are. They like their position coach. They like the head coach. Hopefully they like the organization in the town they're in. So I think that most players would prefer to stay and sign back to the practice squad, but there's just no guarantee.
If you like what you're hearing on the GM Shuffle, it's even more at VSiN Pro. Betting splits, power ratings, and sharp analysis, all for just $9.99 your first month. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and check out all the subscription options. It's funny you mentioned wanting to stay where you are, because that is a big drive for players. I know when I was a young player, the idea of staying with who drafted you and who at least put the time in to bring you into the building is a big decision. I think when it comes to practice squad of whether or not you're going somewhere else, I have the opportunity to go somewhere else to sign in a practice squad, but you come back to where you are, there's a little bit of loyalty there. You think there's loyalty there. I mean, it certainly felt that way that, you know, the Dave Magazine, you guys were looking out for me when I got released and the plan was to bring him back on practice squad. And so I trusted that plan and did come back on practice squad. What's the hardest part for you about cut down day? Because for me as a player, like, again, you can feel if you're being released. It's very clear. Like, if you're the third string offensive lineman, you're not making the roster. Like, you just know that, okay? Like, it's very clear. If you're the seventh, eighth, ninth wide receiver, if you're on third string special teams, you're not making the roster. You know that. The hardest part, obviously, is if you're on that line, you're between the eighth and ninth offensive lineman. And then you start doing, Marty, and coaches tell you not to do this. You start doing the roster math in your head. You got your notebook out like this, and you're like, okay, there's 48 guys that are making the team. Is that fifth linebacker going to make it? You should start marking the guys off the roster. Like, okay, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. How tough is it for you to kind of cut that final three guys of the roster?
Well, I think as a general manager and personnel people in general, I think the hardest thing is when you have to sacrifice a young upcoming player and maybe release him to keep a veteran, as you talked about. And, you know, as personnel people, we're always looking to see the young guys and what they can be, right? Coaches, head coaches, position coaches, they're really there to see who you are, who helps them win the most games that year. You know, you talk about it. How many wide receivers, young wide receivers, did you see get cut that led the preseason in catches? I've seen a lot over the years. It's just, you really have a hard time telling by just watching preseason games. That's why I say it's the big picture. It's the whole process. And when it comes down to cut to the 53, a position coach quite naturally is going to lean toward a veteran guy who he's had and who's done it for him than a younger player. And as a personnel, as a general manager, you have an eye on 2, 3, 4 years down the road, not just this season. You want to see guys develop and you want to see what they can be. So that's the, I think, natural disagreement between the coaching side and the personnel side.
I can only imagine that those fights you had with some of those coaches, those personalities about wanting to keep their own players. You don't have to name names, but I imagine there were coaches that you would gotten some fiery disagreements over.
Can you imagine going in the room and getting in an argument with Foxy for an hour? I mean, anybody that knows them, they'd feel sorry for me. But we did it a lot. And you know what, Jeff? That's what made us so strong, because we could go in and we could argue. And you know, he'd make fun of me. And he'd start looking at my shirt and saying, well, it's only 10 o'clock. The Ernie monogram's not there. Because I'd always spill stuff on my shirt. You always call it the Ernie monogram. But, I mean, we would make fun of each other. We would disagree. Yeah. But when that door opened, we were on the same page. And I learned that from Joe Gibbs and Bobby Bevan, just watching them at the Redskins.
We'll talk more roster cuts, some of these trades, what goes into all of that next on the GM Shuffle presented by DraftKings Network.
Still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.